Here in Matthew chapter 27, we see about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's there on the cross. We want to take a look at this in verse number 50 and see what the scripture has here for us, what the Lord has for us. The Lord's on the cross. He's suffered for 6 hours there upon the cross from about 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's been 3 hours of darkness over the earth. In that latter half of that time. And it says in verse number 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He yielded his spirit. He died when he purposed to die. You and I can't do that. But the Lord Jesus, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. We want to take a look here at this portion of scripture, and this is a portion of scripture that some of the membership has asked me about in times going by, and I not jot that down, and I'm glad to try to preach and expound upon those questions and things that we wonder about in the scriptures when the Lord gives leadership and directive. And so we just want to take a look at this morning with the Lord's help and consider the power of our Lord's resurrection, the power of our Lord's resurrection. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your goodness towards us. You've been so good to us, Father, in every way. We thank you for the past week and your blessings in it. We thank you last night for the cottage prayer meeting we had and the blessings of that. We thank you, Father, for this day that you've made and each one that's come. And Lord, the day that you've set aside for us to meet together to worship you. Help us, Father, we would worship you in spirit and truth. And we thank you for the way you've blessed already as your word's been brought forth. And we've been blessed to pray and sing praises to your name. And as we look forward to this time of preaching, Father, that you would bless it and that we might just lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might be edified as your children and your people. We might be stirred to walk closer with you and be a good witness of you and to a lost and dying world round about us. We might be a help and encouragement and a provoker to love and good works to one another, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, for those that are here and not saved, we pray that you might open their hearts, you might reveal Christ unto them, you might give them sight where they're blind, you might give them life where they're dead, you might bring them from darkness to light, Lord, that they might see Jesus and you would make him precious to the salvation of their souls. Help now, we pray, and give utterance. Take me out of the way, Father, just speak to us through your word, and as we worship you, we ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake, and amen. Here in verse number 50, the Lord Jesus cries, and there's seven things or so that the Lord Jesus cries and says from the cross. And what he had cried was found over in Luke chapter 23, where he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. Jesus has died. I see Matthew, inspired by the Lord. And I kind of see Matthew kind of in an excited state. You understand how it is when you get excited about something and you want to tell it, you're looking to write it or you're looking to tell it to somebody. And sometimes what can happen with this is we can be telling this and we're so excited about it all. We're trying to get it in order. And then we rush ahead and tell something else. And then we come back and finish up where were we at, because it's more in our mind and more in our brain than we can get through our mouth quickly. And I kind of envision our brother Matthew in that kind of a thing here. He's excited. Oh, he's excited about what the Lord has done. And it says in verse number 51, and behold, he says, look at it. Okay, the Lord Jesus said that, didn't he? And the Lord says that in the scriptures. And behold, think about this. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And that thing, that veil of that temple was thick. It wasn't a piece of black cloth that was up there, but that thing was woven thick. And I can't help but consider, I don't know for sure, but as those priests were over there on that day, as Jesus was hanging on the cross and as he gave up the ghost and died, and that veil of the temple was rent in twain, did it make noise? Surely it had to make, because it says it was rent. It wasn't cut, but it was rent, and not from the bottom up, but from the top down. Can you imagine that thing? And it was a tall thing too, if we understand it historically correctly. It wasn't like, you know, like an 8-foot thing. It was high. Maybe a couple stories, maybe even 3 stories. It was high. It was a big, and it was rent. Can you imagine those priests being over there that day? And they're busy. They're busy doing their, and they hear that and say, what's going on? They go there and come by the Holy Holies where that's at, and it's rent in twain, top to bottom. It says, I think, in the book of John that there, or in the book of Acts rather, that there were many priests that were saved and by the Lord. I mean, a bunch of them. And I wonder about that, and them seeing that veil of the temple rent in twain. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, here in this same book, Brother Matthew wrote in Matthew 5, turn over here in verse number 17 on the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what Jesus says here. He says in Matthew 5, verse number 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, he destroyed the veil, didn't he? But everything that they did inside of there in the Holy of Holies was done. Isn't that something? It was done. And not only was it done for the Jews, it was done for us, even as Gentiles. The scripture declares plainly, and we know that it's so, that the Lord Jesus is indeed our Passover. He is our Passover. In Hebrews chapter 10, familiar passages, but applicable to this consideration. Turn over here to Hebrews 10. Hold your place there in Matthew 27. We'll come back to that as we walk through it. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 9, the scripture says, and then said he, and this is prophesied, the apostles quoting this out of the Old Testament. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified, set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Judaism was done, wasn't it? Not only is the Lord Jesus Christ our Passover lamb, but you know what? He's our annual atonement. If my memory serves me correctly, sometime, this is in the first month where the Passover is offered, right? 15th day of that month. Somewhere over here around the 7th month is the annual atonement, all the way on the other side of the year, if you will, where the priest would go in with blood for himself and blood for the sins of the people, and he would make that atonement annually, and it was with fear and trepidation, he would do so if his heart was right. And the Lord, the Shekinah Lord, glory of the Lord, and centuries gone by, which had been present there in Solomon's temple and the tabernacle and that, he would do that with reverence and with fear, knowing that if he did make an error, it could cost him his life. Did Aaron's sons, it cost him their lives, didn't it? And he would go in there and he would offer for himself, and then he would offer for the people with the veil rent in twain top to bottom. That's done. Jesus is the sacrifice, not the annual sacrifice, but he is the answer to all sacrifices. Judaism is done. The ceremonial, sacrificial law that the Lord had given Israel, it's done. It's been fulfilled by Christ. And what, as they look, you reckon they called Acme Veil Company to get another veil ordered up. You know, those guys went to work trying to get that veil fixed or make another veil or something. I mean, the thing was rent from top to bottom. And I mean, it was destroyed because those things were fulfilled. They were taken away, and the New Testament was established in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Isn't that good? That is such a blessing. And then back in Matthew 27, listen to what it says. Verse number 52, and the graves were opened. Matthew, he knows this is so, and he's so excited about it that he jumps ahead, because this is a big thing. I mean, the veil of the temple, written twain from top to bottom, is a big thing. And then this thing about what he's going to tell about here is a big thing. And because of the way it's told here in the scriptures, sometimes, folks, we can have a tendency to get the order out of whack. Our brother's excited, I believe he is. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. He went ahead and put that in there because that happened 3 days later. He's talking about the veil being rent in twain. He's talking about the death of the Lord and the veil being rent in twain from top to bottom. And then he jumps 3 days later and he says, the saints, some of the saints arose. And they came into the city and they appeared to many. Well, Brother Jim, it's only a single occurrence in the scripture. And I don't think that that's a, you know, I don't really think that that happened. It says in the scripture that it happened. And I think what it is, our brother was inspired by the Lord, touched by the Lord to write this and include this in the scripture, that we might understand the power of Jesus' resurrection. The power of it. You know, we know with Lazarus, and we believe and we say it and teach it and preach it. Had the Lord just said, come forth, there'd have been several in that graveyard come forth. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. He was specific, wasn't he? The Lord tells us what in John chapter 5, that there's two resurrections. And when those different resurrections, when the Lord gives that call, they will come forth to their resurrection. His voice, his power is that great because he's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the Messiah. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so it says, our brother writes, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, verse 54, he had to get that out. He had to get that told, even though it's 3 days later on, because he's excited about it. It's a big thing. It's a testimony to the power of our Lord. Verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake. Okay, now he's back to hear the Lord giving up the ghost. The Lord, the veil of the temple being rent in twain. And now he's back on Calvary with the Lord yet on the cross. You see that? See how that's there? He's so excited about that. He tells about that. And he tells of the shaking and the rocks being rent. And he takes off in that thought 3 days later. But now he comes back and he says, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, not those saints raising from the dead, because that's going to happen 3 days later, they feared greatly, saying, truly, it was the Son of God. In consideration about these saints which slept arose. And I like that in the scripture where the Lord refers to death. Physical death for us, he says, is sleep. For the saints, it's sleep. That's the power that the Lord has over death, isn't it? He's defeated death, hell, and the grave. He has done so for his people. And that is imputed unto us. The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. It was after his resurrection or upon his resurrection that they did so. The Lord Jesus has died. He's given his life. He yielded up the spirit. He was taken down. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, take our Lord and prepare him hastily, quickly for burial. And they put him in Joseph's tomb. And the Lord lays there for 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. He's dead. Not comatose, not swooned away, but they're dead. But then it comes to the end of that time. And our Lord Jesus sits up. And our Lord Jesus takes the napkin off of his face and he folds it up, doesn't he? Lays it over here and he comes out of those grave clothes and the angels roll the stone away so that Jesus can get out No, Jesus doesn't help, need any help getting out. That's so the disciples can see in there that our Lord has raised from the dead. And you know what? That power, I wonder, that great power of the Lord and his resurrection. The scripture tells us both that Jesus took his life back, and it tells us both that the Father raised him from the dead. That manifestation of power over death, it just couldn't be hardly squeezed down and contained. You hear what I'm saying? The power of the Lord Jesus' resurrection affected those saints that were there close to his grave. And we know that that is after the order and way of the Lord. The Lord determined that. But what a great, great thing that one dead could take his life back again. What a great, great thing that God the Father, his Son being dead, but would take and cause him to have life again right there, that body. Jesus' body never did decompose. There's a doctrine of the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ in every way, in every cell of his being, in every whit of his person. He was holy, sinless, and pure. And when they laid him in that grave, his body did not decompose. But 3 days and three nights later, he took his life back again. And those brothers and sisters, those saints that were there near his grave, that power of his resurrection, they too raised from the dead. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? It's a testimony, I believe, to the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power of our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection was so great that it affected those of the saints buried around him. See, that's only who the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ can be imputed into, is to the saints. Those that were there, that were buried around there, that were without Christ, without the Lord as Savior, it didn't affect them. But it affected the saints there. Wonder how close David was buried there. I don't know. Or other. Wonder who those saints were. Were they some of the prophets or some that we would know? And the scripture doesn't tell us. We don't know. But we know they were saints. And you know what it says? It says what? And the graves were open, and many of bodies of the saints which slept arose. They were alive and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and not only that, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Our society is presently plagued with this zombie thing. You got zombie shooting targets and zombie shows and zombie movies and all that. These weren't zombies. These folks had, I believe, a body like Christ's. They were able to go in the city, and they were able to speak to the saints that were in the city and be known of them. Yeah, pretty far-fetched, Brother Jim. The thing is it's a testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Mark was inspired of the Lord to put this in the scriptures, and may the Lord help us that we understand the impact of it, what it is that it means. The resurrection of Jesus is great. It's great. It was to him and for him and because of him is he coming from the dead back to life. But that power and that the brightness and the working and the magnificence of that, it spread around in that grave area where Joseph had his tomb, and others of the saints were touched by it. So much so they came out of their graves and they went into the city and spoke to them. Spoke to the saints. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when I say that, what do you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Well, the gospel, right? And the resurrection chapter. Let's go over here to 1 Corinthians 15, and let's see some things that are contained here that maybe tell us about this and help us with this. In 1 Corinthians 15, I trust you know this hallmark passage. Mark this in your Bible. Know it. Know where it's at. Know what it's talking about. At the beginning of this chapter, indeed, we're told about the gospel, but then we're told about the punch or the power of the gospel, the completeness of the gospel, and the resurrection. And this whole chapter from verse 8 or so, or verse 6 or so, verse number 4, really, on through the rest of the chapter, it's talking about resurrection and the impact and the transference and the imputation and the working of that by the Lord to his people. It says here, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved by the gospel of Christ, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Have you believed in vain? I pray not. Folks can believe in vain. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It was prophesied and he did so. How he was buried and how he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures," which we read. Brother Matthew testifies to that. It was prophesied that he would. And not only did he raise from the dead, but he was seen as Cephas, Peter. He was seen of the 12, the apostles, including the new apostle, Matthias. After that, Paul writes, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. The Lord Jesus had in his resurrected body, after his resurrection, was seen of among 500 brethren in one, at one setting, at one time. And that was just talking about the men. It was true that he raised from the dead. He's alive forevermore. And he said at the writing of this to the church at Corinth, he says, the greatest part of those, they're still alive. Some have died. But if you can go find them, they'll give testimony. I saw him with my own eyes. I touched him with my own hands. He was there. I saw him eat in our midst. He was alive and is alive forevermore. After that, he was seen of James and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. The Apostle Paul says he saw him too. That he rose again the third day. All three parts of the gospel are necessary and important. It wouldn't be the gospel without any of these three parts. But the gospel would not be the gospel if any part would be found missing. But the resurrection, as I mentioned earlier, it's the power of the gospel. Now understand, and again, this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, the majority content is to that pertains to the resurrection. Read it if you haven't. And look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 19. The apostle writes, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We have a hope, a no-so hope in Christ that we, as he, will raise from the dead. We'll have a body like his, won't we? What a glorious thing to live forever, not in this old flesh that's getting old and that hurts and as age comes on gets weaker and has infirmity. It'd be a terrible thing to live forever in this old thing, wouldn't it? But the hope that we have and the blessing we have in Christ is we'll have a body like his. And it'll be an eternal body. As Brother Mark mentioned about the Scripture says that we'll be likened to the angels to give us understanding about it. The power of the resurrection of Christ. The power of his resurrection was so great and so radiant that it could hardly be restrained. And these saints buried close to our Lord rose from the dead too. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, listen to this. "And now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." He's the leader. He's the first one to raise from the dead, and he doing so, again, is able to impute that into his children. Because he raised, he indeed will raise us. And what a blessing. And the power of that happening there with Christ, it spread, and these others were affected by it too. They rose from the dead. And not only did they raise and just go on to be in glory, but they went into the city and talked to different ones. There would have been a testimony of those that are alive in that day that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, who we buried some time ago, came in here and they were alive too. Not a zombie. But I would believe, I don't know any other way to think of it, they would be like the Lord was. Be able to be touched, be able to be heard, be able to eat. Because that's what the Lord did in himself, and that's what he did for them. Listen to what it says here as we read in further in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, the God-man. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And when he did that, see, this is the first time that the Lord had ever died. Death is foreign to God. God had never died. But when Jesus died, he died as a man. He came as a man so he could die, because God can't die. But as a man, he died. And you know what? When he came back from the dead, that was the first time he ever came back from the dead too. And it was in power and great glory and with just a magnificence and just the greatest display of power ever was. It's a wonder that the Lord has created all that there is. But it is indeed a wonder when Jesus took back his life again being dead. You see that? That's just like the brightest shining point of all that God has done was when Jesus came back from the dead. And because he lives, we too shall live. And it affected these others. And listen to what it says. Verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. See, Christ rose first. And then there were others that he caused to raise from the dead right then because of this greatness and this great display of his power upon himself. He did not constrain that to just be him, but some of those other saints rose from the dead. And then you know what? We know that we will be raised too. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. See, those brothers and sisters that were raised from the dead then, they were like Christ. They were the first fruits of the display of the resurrection upon men. And so much so, they were truly alive. They went into that city and spoke to the saints that were there. How long did they stay in Jerusalem? That's an obvious question that would result from that. What happened to them? I think that was the question that was posed to me by the church member that had mentioned this passage to me. How long did they stay? Did they stay around to die again? Well, no, they've been raised from the dead by the Lord. They had been buried. Not a thing like the Lord did with Lazarus. I don't believe it was like that. I believe it was because it was there with the resurrection of Christ. It was a spreading and allowing of that power of the Lord to be spread upon those saints that were there near and in that area where our Lord Jesus was buried. How long would they stay? If indeed they did raise from the dead with a glorified body, they're not staying in this world, are they? No. because they have something here. We have a promise also here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's take a look at this. I think maybe this will give us some insight to this. How long did they stay? How long did they stay? Well, we know they stayed as long as the Lord wanted them to stay. Amen? We know that. But listen to this. Listen to this. Another hallmark passage regarding the resurrection of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians, not 1 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Those who are dead in Christ, we know we will see them again. We know they will be raised also. And again, the brother refers to them, the Lord refers to those that are saved being dead, that they are asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? Do you believe he did that for you? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Jude speaks about that. We've studied about that recently. For this we say unto you by the word of our Lord, of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Listen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. How long did they stay in Jerusalem? Well, I think they stayed in Jerusalem as long as the Lord stayed in Jerusalem. Because see, that those that are resurrected and given that glorified body by the Lord, these that seemingly to be these first fruits that went forward as our Lord rose from the dead, he caused them to be raised from the dead, and they wave in and gave witness and testimony of the resurrection of the Lord. They being, if they indeed had a glorified body, their place is with the Lord Jesus, wherever he is. And when our Lord ascended, and when it was time, they ascended with him too. How long did they stay in Jerusalem? I believe, as it says here, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That when we're raised, when we go out of this life, and we're there with the Lord in soul and spirit, if you will. And then the Lord comes back in the rapture. And as we've read here, those that are dead in Christ will be raised, and our spirits, our souls will be reunited with a glorified physical body. We're evermore with the Lord. That's our place. Glorified body with the Lord. With the Lord. You can only be with the Lord in a glorified body. Salvation will be complete in the Lord. See, when our Lord raises us from the dead, we are evermore with him. Remember what the Lord says, John 14. Take a look over here. Remember these things, promises by our Lord and to us. In John 14, verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord Jesus has expectation and looks forward to the saints being with him. And anyone that is raised, and these that are first fruits, these that were raised with our Lord Jesus by that magnificent display of his resurrecting power, and it was effective unto them also that were there around, when it was time for them to have done what the Lord had purposed for them to do, as the Lord ascended, I believe they went with him. In John 17, our Lord praying here, he says in verse number 24, let's read what it says. Father, John 17, 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's his desire. That's his desire. That's his expectation. That's his longing. That's what he looks forward. Can you just enjoy and rejoice that the Lord Jesus has a desire to have you with him where he is? We're not a stranger and we're not a far off servant. We're not just a supplier to the things of heaven, if you will. I know that that's outrageous, but we're near to the Lord. We've been brought near with him. We're accepted in the beloved. And when the Lord gives a resurrected body, when he takes and imputes that resurrection into the child of God, their place is with him. Father, I will they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, for a purpose that they may behold my glory. We can look on him. We can see his glory. We can observe it. We can praise him in it. We can revel in the glory of our Lord, the glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. In 1 John, John writes also here, and we just referenced this scripture recently, but it's true and applies in this case too, in 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. The Lord, the power of the resurrection that day, some 2,000 years ago, it was so radiant and so great and was not quelled just down to the Lord Jesus, but the Lord also, the God in his infinite wisdom and for the purpose of a testimony of the resurrection of Christ, it affected those other saints as the Lord was pleased, and they too came out of the graves. They too were resurrected to life. They too were given a body that could be seen. And they went into the city and they testified of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. When the power of his resurrection is upon us, we are ever more with him. Now, can you think of anything better than that? Can you think of anything better than that? We close by a consideration of Philippians. The apostle writes, and he has a desire for something here, and he's writing to the church of Philippi. And some interesting words. I've always thought that there was really something great here about this and touching about this. The apostle, he says, he starts off in this chapter to beware of dogs, evil workers. The concision, the cutting off. He says, beware of them. Beware of their way. He goes down here and he says about all that he had done following after Judaism and all that and how great and how perfect he was. Everything. He had done everything. It says in verse 6, he was considered by his peers to be blameless. But you know what? In verse number 8, he says all those things were loss compared to the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he counted them all but dung, refuse and waste. Refuse and waste that was out there on the dung heap. And you know who hung around the dung heap? The dogs. See that connection there? That all those things, all that self-righteousness and all that he pursued, he said that all that was belongs out there in the dung heap out there where the dogs rummage around. He said, beware of those dung heap ones that hang around there and pursue after that stuff, because compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, compared to his righteousness imputed unto you, as a child of God, as a sinner that's repented before the Lord and trusted in Christ, the Lord is saved, and that righteousness imputed unto you, the justification of God, of the Lord freely given unto you, what you can do belongs out there on the dung heap. Okay? He says here, in the latter part of verse 8, there at the middle part of verse 8, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count what I have lost, all that self-righteousness, count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Listen to what he says here. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. I want that kind of righteousness. The righteousness which is of God by faith in Christ. Faith in the Lord. Listen to this, verse 10. That I may know him. As the Lord declares in Matthew, learn of me. Learn of me. He says, I want to know him. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. I'm waiting for the day that the power of his resurrection will be upon me. I found this interesting that the brother talked about the power of the Lord's resurrection, yet in other epistles writes that we're to be looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. In either way, we have great consolation, and we know we will be changed, whether at the appearing of the Lord when he comes in the clouds for us, we'll be translated like some of our other brethren. We will be changed. And when you get that, you and I get that new body, our place is with the Lord. And it's able to be so because that day that he laid there dead, even though he was dead, he took his life back again. And he's imparting that unto us. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Because there is power in the resurrection. No greater power. You think of all the technology, and I like technology. I like automation. I like machines that work by themselves. I enjoy that very much. Robotics and mechatronics and all I just enjoy that stuff. But man tries and tries and tries to automate things and tries to make life and all that. But we just cannot. We cannot make life. That's the Lord's business. And as he saved us when we were dead, he's given us spiritual life. When these bodies die, he'll give us physical life too. We have a promise, whether in the rapture or whether in the resurrection. Paul says, I want to know him and I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. What he did for me, any suffering that I have in this life for his sake, may it help me and may I understand more about what my Lord did for me. I can never suffer enough for myself to gain my salvation. He did that for me. But may I serve him and be used of him to carry that good message of the gospel to others, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He died for me. And may we die for him. Amen. In our death, till the day that we die, may we deny self. We talked about fasting the last several cottage prayer meetings, a denial of self. And the Lord is pleased with that when the order and the thinking and the spirit of that is right. Because this old man hates God and this old man's against God. But you know what? That new body will be all for the Lord in every whit and way, won't it? No hindrance whatsoever. Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. To be raised like Christ. And be alive forevermore. As Jesus died once and was buried and rose from the dead and lives forevermore, so we will be changed never to die again. Never. Never. We got death all around us in this life, don't we? Our loved ones die. Our friends die. We have the threat of disease upon us in our nation. We've got this terrible scourge of cancer and other things. I mean, death is all around. And yeah, with technology and the way of man, some of that stuff's been prettied up and we're saved a lot of things and spared a lot of things. But we strive and spend a lot of time trying to stay well, don't we? But we won't have to work at that then. Because we'll be raised like unto our Lord, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, it hadn't happened yet. Either were already perfect. I'm not perfect in Christ, mature, fully mature in the Lord. But he says, you know what? I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. We are saved. We've been apprehended by Christ. I'm glad he ran me down, aren't you? He ran me down. He found me. He apprehended me. And you know what? As his child, I want to apprehend him too. I want to be apprehended by this resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be apprehended. I want to be run down. I want to be caught up with. Don't you desire to be apprehended by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? That that power might be manifested in us, in me, in you. That was manifested in our Lord and by our Lord on that day when he rose from the dead. As I was trying to get at earlier and I lost the thought, men have been trying to make life and can't. But our Lord has the power of life, and there's no greater display. There's no greater display. That's the reason the Antichrist and the false prophet, whether by gimmick or by the manifested power and allowed power of Satan, caused the image to the beast to come to life, whether that's a gimmick or that where that's a real, he's really allowed to do such a thing. See, that's where the key is. There's no greater power than someone taken, making someone come alive after they were dead. And there's no greater power than someone bringing back their own life after they are dead themselves. No greater manifestation of power than that. And that's what Jesus has done. And may we look forward and desire to be apprehended by this great power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother John summed it up after he saw the Lord in Revelation, next to the last verse there in the book of Revelation. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus.